This day is to be found in the book called The Acts of the Apostles, the fifth chapter, concerning Ananias and Sapphira, and likewise of the apostles being cast into prison and being delivered out of prison. We have here a certain man by the name of Ananias, who likewise with his wife sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price, and they brought what they were going to give to the feet of the apostles. These two people, they wanted to be someone great in the church at that time. They were envious, probably, of Barnabas, of whom we read in the preceding chapter, that he was a man that sold his possession, and he brought it likewise to the feet of the apostles. And this man, Ananias, he was envious that he was so praised and honored by the church for what he did. So he thought that if he sold one of his possessions and did like this Barnabas did, then he would receive a great name in the church, and they would be honored and praised too. This was his ambition. He was a rich man, and he had more than one possession, and it appears that he was one of the first Christians. This happened immediately after the day of Pentecost, and we find that he consulted with his wife, and they agreed to sell a possession of land. And while they agreed together to do this, they had it in their heart probably to dedicate all the money that they would receive of this property for the use and for the cause of Christ. But when they received the money, they divided in their hearts concerning about giving it. They had too much love for the money that they received. And they talked the matter over with each other, and they decided that they would only give part of it, and that they would keep the rest for themselves, for maybe a rainy day, maybe a time would come when they would need this money. And in this way, they would have some. Now, this, of course, wasn't wrong in the way that they wanted to do this, but the way that they did it was entirely wrong. For the people that were doing this at this present time, they were under the impulse of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gave these people to bring everything that they had to the feet of the apostles. They laid it down and said, here's what we have. They believed that God would provide for them, would support them, and that they would be helped out of the common fund that was being then made by the apostles gathering whatever they brought to their feet. So with these people doing this and consenting together to keep back part of the price, they should have came forward and said this. They should have said to Peter, Peter, we are bringing something to your feet, but we're not bringing all of it. They didn't do this. They wanted it to appear that they were bringing everything that they had to the feet of the apostles, that all what they received for the property was there. And they laid it down just like the other people did, thinking that they would be commended for what they did and be praised and be honored. This is what they were looking for. Ananias, he brought the money then to the feet of the apostle Peter. And now, of course, this, what they did, was a great sin. The sin, as the Bible teaches us, was against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost leading the other people to do it, it appeared that the Holy Ghost was leading this man and his wife to do the same thing, but they weren't. They weren't being led by the Holy Ghost. They were deceivers. They were not honest. They were not true Christians. Had they been worldlings, they would have never sold their property. Had they been true Christians, they would have done it perfectly. But they kept back. They dissembled part of the money and kept it for themselves. Now, in this, they thought that surely the apostles wouldn't know it, and nobody else would know it. It was only between him and his wife. And now when Ananias came and gave the money as he did, He expected to be praised, to be commended for this. But much to his astonishment, Peter immediately detected this sin that was going on in his heart. Nobody told Peter about this. Nobody knew anything about it but Ananias and his wife. But there was one in heaven that Ananias and his wife didn't think about. He revealed unto Peter what was going on in the heart of this man. Without any witnesses, without any examination, he immediately spake to him and said unto him, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to do this thing? In other words, Satan was at the bottom of it. Satan filled his heart, urged him on, and caused him to do this. Now Satan was looking for an opportunity in every one of these Christians to make the cause of Christ to fall immediately. But God was there too. He knew what the aim of Satan was, even in this man Ananias. This sin against the Holy Ghost was sinning in the first place against the apostles who had been anointed with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were men that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was when they brought this to them as if they said, well, we believe you have the Holy Ghost. We believe you have the gift of tongues, but we don't believe you have the gift to discern our spirits, that you know what's going on in us. They then tempted the spirit of these apostles even in this respect. They sinned against them. They didn't trust the apostles. They kept back part of the money for this part too, for they didn't have full confidence in them. These people, they then were covetous. They loved the money. And they had no trust that God would provide for them and take care of them if they did as the other people did. They decided to take care of themselves. If a rainy day came, if sickness came or something, well, they had a little bit to go back to. They didn't have to do like the rest of the people. They thought they were a little wiser than them. But they were, in this respect, liars. They weren't true. And Ananias, he was immediately detected by this man, Peter. How wonderful the Spirit of God unfolded this to Peter. And immediately he spake to him. Now, if this had been that they had been tempted, and in weakness had given way to temptation, and had fallen into this, then the commentary says, Peter, he wouldn't have acted as he did immediately against them. He would have taken Ananias aside and said to him, listen, this isn't all the money. You and your wife are keeping some of it to yourselves. Bring it all here. Repent of this your sin. But Peter didn't speak this way to them. They had no chance for repentance. Immediately Peter acted according to the way the Spirit gave him to speak. And he spake unto him and said unto him, while it was your own, was it not in your power? And after you have sold it, couldn't you still do what you wanted with it? They were under no compulsion to give what they had to these apostles. There was no law that God had given that they should give everything they had and bring it to their feet. This was what they were doing at this time. But it was no institution, it was no ordinance of God. They had no reason at all, if they didn't want to sell their property. But they did this in that way that they wanted to become somebody. And now Peter spake and said to him, why hast thou conceived this in thine heart? You see, the Bible says, why hast Satan filled thine heart? But later on, Peter says, why hast thou conceived this in thine heart? We can't just pass our sins on to Satan and say he is the cause of it. Everything that we do, we conceive in our own hearts. That's where it takes place. And Satan may be the instigator and may push us on to do it, but we are the sinners. And so it was with this man, Ananias. And when Peter spake to him in these words, we see the power of the word of God. Some, it is a savor of life unto life, but unto some, death unto death. And Ananias, when he heard these words that Peter said, ye have not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God, he immediately dropped dead right at the feet of the apostle Peter. God struck him dead immediately. How severe, we would say. How awful. What an awful thing this must have been for the people that were gathered together with Peter and the other apostles. They were all together in the porch called Solomon. This was the place where they were assembling together. It was a wonder that the rulers of the temple allowed them to assemble there, that they hadn't scattered them. But they were under the power of God likewise, and they allowed this to go on for a while. And now while they were there, assembled like this, this took place. This man fell dead at his feet. And we read that there were young men there, who they were, whether they were appointed by the Romans or whether they were the young men that assisted the apostles, that they came in. They wound them up in grave clothes, and they carried him out, buried him outside of the city. This was the custom of the way to bury people that the Jews had. But this man then was made an example of. An example for reasons of God. That these men that were the apostles, that they were men that were set by God over the church, and when these two came in this way as they did, why then, they as much as made that these apostles didn't have the Spirit. They made them out for liars too, as if they were just like them. Not only did this Ananias put an affront upon the Holy Spirit, but he put it also upon Christ and upon God the Father. Because Peter said, you have not lied unto men, not only unto us, but unto God, the triune God. They had sinned against him. And Ananias, he was made an example. You and I would say, well, how severe this was. It was an awful thing. But it was for this reason that anybody else that were to bring their money to the feet of the apostles, they wouldn't keep any of it back. You may be sure of that when they heard this. They would be honest. Now, one of the commentaries says, suppose the lazy and the rich likewise came, and they wanted to be helped out of this common fund that they had. If this had taken place and they had allowed the lazy and the rich to take out of this fund, the church would have inevitably been ruined right at the beginning. But God took care of his church. They wouldn't allow such things to go into the church. So Ananias, he was buried. A respectable burial was given to this man. He died in his sin, it is true. But he was made an example of. And now, we may likewise say, how severe. But God has been, in many times, very severe with people. When you take the history of the Old Testament, and you go back to the time when these Israelites made a golden calf, and they began to dance around it. They began to worship it. They began to say, this is the God that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Idolatry. Sin against the second commandment. And immediately, when Moses came down, he was instructed by God that they should go throughout the whole congregation And oh, how many of them were slain. Very severe did God likewise act in the sin that these people were committing. When you think again of the two sons of Aaron, Abihu, these two sons, they were offering up strange fire unto God, and immediately God struck them dead. A very terrible sin, offering up strange fire to God. But then we read likewise of others that were destroyed by God. When Korah and his company rose up against God, and those that were with him, how the earth opened up, and they were swallowed up immediately. And all these priests who were burning incense and had censers, they were struck dead by the lightning of God. Oh, how terrible was God in these instances, my hearers, and how severe he was against sinners. And then when you think of one man that went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath day, they brought him to Moses, and they said, what shall we do with him? Moses went to God with the matter, and God said, take him outside of the camp and stone him, just because he had picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. How many times have you done something wrong on the Sabbath day? And when you consider this man Ananias being struck dead like he was, has it never come home to you that God hasn't done this to you? Haven't you and I sinned so many times that we deserve to be struck dead? Oh, my hearers, God is very severe sometimes, but he is also very patient, very long-suffering. And that over you and I, if you consider your own life and the many things you have done wrong, for which he could justly punish you as he did Ananias. And now we find, as the space of 3 hours later, his wife came in. Now this had spread around, but she hadn't heard about it. There were so many people talking about what had taken place, and great fear came upon all the people. You may be sure of it. They were filled with awe, especially when they seen something like that take place. Thinking of this, I think of the people that likewise looked into the ark, the men of Beth Shemesh. You may read thereof in the Old Testament. The ark was brought back out of the land of the Philistines, and these people of Beth Shemesh, they looked into the ark. And when they looked into the ark, God struck 50,070 people. Immediately they were killed, they were slain. How severe God is. And so this woman, she came unknowingly that her husband had been struck down by the hand of God. And when she came, Peter immediately put a question to her and said unto her, did you sell the property for so much? She says, yes, so much. He says, why have you tempted the Spirit of God? You and your husband together have done this. They had agreed with this. They had agreed to keep it quiet, not to say nothing to nobody. Nobody knew about it. And surely they would be honored, they would be praised by all the people. But now God had brought this to light, what they were doing. And now when she came, then Peter approached her. He put a question to her, and she answered the question to the proof that she likewise was guilty of the same sin that her husband had done. And therefore Peter immediately spake unto her and said unto her, the feet that have carried your husband out and have buried him are at the door. They likewise will carry you out. What an awful word this must have been to this woman. Oh, she received a sentence of death from the mouth of Peter. What must have went on in that few spaces of time when she heard Peter say this, the feet of them that carry your husband out are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Oh, my dear hearers, what went through the mind of this woman we don't read of, but immediately we read that she yielded up the ghost. She fell down dead at the feet of Peter.
And the young men came, and they found her dead. They picked her up, and they took her out, and buried her by her husband. Now, in my mind, and in your mind, there may arise this question. I know it did in mine.
What did the apostles do with the money? You think that? They brought the money to the feet of the apostles. Henry, the commentary says, he believes that they kept it. He says, there wasn't anything wrong, he says, in the money that they brought to the feet of the apostles. The wrong was in the money that they kept back to themselves. And there wasn't anything wrong in the men that they brought it to. The wrong was in the people, in Ananias and his wife, for keeping back part of it. They were not like those that you read of when Judas cast the money into the temple. That money had come from those priests. They had paid this money to him. And they were so superstitious that they didn't believe that it should go into the treasury. So they bought a field for it to bury those that were not citizens of that particular city. But so were not the apostles. They, in all probabilities, used the money. This man, Henry, brings in concerning the censers of these men that were offering up incense when Korah and his company were smitten by God. After they had been smitten by God, they picked up these censers which they had been using, and they used them to make a brazen altar to worship God on. So we find that these two people, that they were deceivers, they were hypocrites, and they died in their sins. In all probabilities, that rises up in your mind. What was their eternal destiny? We don't know. Secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But they died in their sins. We may be sure of that. And when we die in our sins, then there is no hope for heaven. Now these people being smitten in this way are a warning to you and I that we should keep ourselves not only from our violent and from our scandal passions, but from passions and lust which we all possess by nature, especially the love of money, the love to be honored, to be praised, to become someone, to be honored by worldlings, but especially to be honored in the church that we are in. Oh, how careful we should be. If anyone that hath committed this sin that I've been speaking about, oh, and God has not done with you as he did with Ananias and Sapphira, oh, how thankful you should be. And may you be given that grace to keep from this sin. And may you be given the grace of repentance to return back to God and find that he is ready and willing to forgive the greatest of sinners. And now when this took place, you may be sure there was a great awe upon the people. They were afraid. This God that these apostles were speaking about, this God that these people confessed and likewise made a profession of, he was the God that had revealed his power, his anger, his justice in doing this. All these people, they surely were filled with trembling. And we find that there were many that were afraid even to come near unto them and to join them. But God gave unto these apostles wonderful gifts and blessings. For we read that by the hand of the apostles, many wonders and miracles were done. They were given to do things even that Christ hadn't done. For he had said unto them, ye shall do more things than these, and greater wonders. And they did.
For the many wonders and miracles that these apostles did in raising the sick, in delivering those that were possessed with evil spirits, and those that were blind, that were crippled, they were brought to the apostles, and they were healed. Great wonders took place. Wonders for the people, blessings for the people. All the people were astonished, and they magnified these apostles for the things that they were doing. And these apostles, they didn't look for their own honor or for their own glory, but they gave Jesus Christ all the glory and the honor of what they were doing. It was him that was using them for this purpose. And these wonders and miracles didn't just happen once or twice. They didn't happen in a corner, but they happened amongst the people. Everybody saw that they were being done. And when this was taking place, many wonders of grace were being done too. Not only outward wonders, but God's Spirit and his grace came upon many of the people. And many men and women, multitudes of them, were added unto the Lord. This was the greatest wonder, to my estimation, that their souls were saved. They were given then to join the church at that present time which was forming. Especially we read, and it's odd, many men and women. We don't read too much under Israel about women. But now that the church was established in the New Testament area, then we find many cases of women, good women, that had been added to the church. Women who followed our Lord Jesus Christ, and likewise assisted him while he was here below. And afterwards there were many women that were added to the church. So the church grew, but there were also those that were afraid and dared not join the church. These people, they magnified the apostles because they had some superior gifts than others had, special gifts. There were many other ministers too at that time, but none of them had these special gifts that the apostles had. For we read that they brought the people out of the houses and laid them on the streets. They laid them on beds, they laid them on couches, and if the apostle Peter just walked by and the shadow of Peter fell upon the people, they were healed immediately. What a wonderful time this must have been for the people at Jerusalem and those that dwelt round about it. Don't you think so? Wouldn't you have liked to live at that time?
Oh, what a wonderful time it was. If you would have had somebody that was sick, that was beyond cure, why, you would have carried him too to these apostles, I'm sure. For we read that even out of the cities round about Jerusalem, the multitudes of people brought their sick folks and brought them to the apostles, and they were all healed. None of them were turned away. Oh, what a wonderful time it was in Jerusalem. One would think, oh, everybody would be exalting these men and praising these men. God was sending down his blessings upon the mankind. But not everybody was satisfied. Not everybody was glad that this was taking place. No. For we read, the high priest and those that were associated with him and the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation at the apostles. Because by their doctrine and by what they were doing, they were getting so many people together that they seen that if this doctrine of Christianity would be uppermost, then there wouldn't be any high priest anymore, and there wouldn't be any sect of the Sadducees anymore. They would inevitably become nothing. All their honor, all their power, and everything they had would be gone. And therefore, they immediately counseled together to put an end to it. They were filled with indignation at the apostles for the doctrine that they were preaching and for the wonders and the miracles that they were doing. You would say, how is it possible? You'd think they would have been glad, happy, that they had such wonderful men in their midst whom God was using for the benefit of mankind. No. They were only looking for themselves. These were the religious leaders, the high priest, who they say was either Annas or Caiaphas at that time, and the sect of the Sadducees. They were that sect who didn't believe in a hereafter. They didn't believe in a future state. They didn't believe in a resurrection. And of course, the apostles were preaching that there was a future state, that there would be a resurrection of the dead. And of course, these Sadducees, they were bitter enemies of this doctrine. And so was the high priest. And now, they laid hands on the apostles. Probably, they laid their own hands on them and took them. Or otherwise, they sent their officers to take the apostles prisoners. And they cast them into the common prison, a prison where the most notorious malefactors were. This is where these apostles ended with their good doings. This was the reward that they received for all what they were doing. When you consider this, my hearers, you can't understand these people, the high priest and the Sadducees. And now, picture yourself one of these apostles. Suppose you had been gifted like they were, and this is what they did to you. They took you and they put you in the prison for all what you were doing. Don't you think your mind would begin to think, well, if ever I get out of this prison, I'm going to go as far away as I can, for they'll sure take my life. And I think to some of these apostles were thinking this way. And now they were in prison, and this is what the devil wanted. He stopped their work. He didn't want the progress of the church to go any further. So this is what he used to stop this wonderful work that was going on. These men, they were cast into the prison. But God had begun this work. God had used these men. He was with them. And didn't he know that they were being put in prison? Most certainly. Would he leave them? Would he forsake them? Oh, my hearers, this God in heaven above, he took care of his apostles. And now while they were in prison the first night, God sent an angel from heaven down to the prison. He opened the doors of the prison, and he led them out. And he said unto his apostles, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Oh, my hearers, how strengthening, how encouraging this must have been for these apostles. You may be sure that they were discouraged when they were cast into the prison, but now when God sent an angel down to them, oh, this filled them with so much zeal, so much love for God. I think they were saying, well, if we have an almighty God as our friend, we don't have to fear no man. And when they heard this, go, stand, speak in the temple all the words of this life, they obeyed it. They didn't scatter. They didn't run away. I was thinking maybe if I was one, I would have run away. But not them. They were so encouraged. Very early in the morning, they went right back into the temple, right where they had been taken prisoner. And they began to speak. They began to preach again. And now, how that this angel had done this without the guards knowing it. This was a miracle too, that everything was the same as the way it was when they had put them into the prison. Nobody knew that they had got out of the prison. How wonderful God was in this respect. These men, they were then commanded to speak unto the people all the words of this life. Oh, that's a wonderful text, my hearers. If I have some young men here, I wish God would come to you and speak unto you and say, go ye, stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. That he would use some of you young men for this glorious purpose of sending forth his precious gospel to the salvation of immortal souls. Have I any young men that are saying, oh, I wish God would use me for this? Oh, my hearers, when God comes to you in your life and he gives you the feel something of his love and of his mercy, I think maybe it doesn't happen with women. But oh, with every man that it happens, he has that in his heart that God might use him for this work. He would like God to use him. He asks God to use him. He prays for God to use him. But God doesn't use everyone for this work, my hearers. Oh, there's a special calling for this work besides being called by grace. But these apostles, they had been called by Jesus Christ. They had been anointed by him, and they were again anointed. They were again commissioned, even though they had been put in prison and their mouths had been stopped for one night. They had to go forth again and speak all the words of this life. That's a wonderful text, my dear. If you don't have this life, how can you speak about it? You can speak about the Bible. You can speak about Jesus Christ. You can speak about the wonderful love that God has shown in sending his dear son into this world. But if he never has communicated life to your immortal soul, how can you speak about it? Life must be communicated before you can talk about it. As the Apostle John says, what we have handled, what we have tasted, what we have felt of the word of life, this we preach unto you. A mercy if we have this, my hearers. I'm afraid there are so many preachers that never had this text applied to them. They speak, but they do not speak to the life that God has given into the hearts of his dear people. What a mercy if we are a person that's been used by God for this purpose. All this life, my hearers, is a wonderful life. It's the life of God. I hope that God may communicate this life to every one of you that are listening to me. And now these apostles were commissioned to preach this, to preach the words of life. Has the word ever become life for any of you, my hearers? This is what God uses, his precious word. It's his word. It's the word of the living God. And it becomes that when he brings it home with power divine to our hearts. Or whether he sheds his love abroad in our hearts, or whether he comes with his law, it becomes his word. And his word is certain to take effect upon us. But these apostles then were liberated. They were given again to enter into the temple. And now when this council got together the next day, they convened together and they decided that they would bring these apostles before them. So they sent their officers to the prison to bring these men before them. When these officers came, they found the guards standing in the front of the prison just the way they were supposed to be. When they opened the doors, there was nobody in the prison. So the apostles were not there. What a surprise this must have been to them. What a miracle it must have been for them guards even. Oh, they surely must have been affected by this. And they had to come back and tell those council that we found the prison just as the way it was supposed to be, the guards in the front of it, but the apostles, we didn't find them. And then somebody came in and said, the men whom ye seek, they are in the temple, speaking unto the people. How wonderful for this must have been to these men.
Oh, they must have been dumbfounded. But they decided that they would bring them still before them. They did, my hearers, and what happened to them, I hope to begin about next week, the Lord willing. My time is gone. The Lord bless the feeble instruction this day to your immortal souls. For Jesus' sake, that's all.